News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A slow-moving cold front is coming our way, so for tonight we'll see variable amounts of cloud cover. There will be a risk of showers. Best chance of rain to hold off until after midnight. Our low down to 42. Showers likely Tuesday morning. They will taper off Tuesday afternoon. A little cooler with a high around 54. Showers on Wednesday, high 49. Then on Thursday, windy and colder with snow showers and a high only around freezing. This is meteorologist Mike Sinifer from the Weather Channel.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR. WWNR, Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620, WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday evening, the 7th of February, 2005. Super Bowl hangover day. No, we all behaved ourselves during the Super Bowl, didn't we? Yes, we did, of course. Did you watch that? More people, I guess, watch that than anything else in the world, don't they? I don't know. But it was an okay game. I've seen better. I've seen worse. But I said, you know, one of the things that sort of got all over me was, and I had no idea. Joe Buck mentioned that during the early in the broadcast that they replace the football every play. Now you know this isn't because of quality football. This is because there's an opportunity to make a buck somewhere in there. CEO and president of Ford gets a football. CEO and president of Anheuser-Busch gets a football. You know, with a little trophy case kind of presentation. Garrett, genuine Super Bowl football used in Super Bowl 39. That kind of thing. But what was pointed out, and it makes perfectly good sense, at least, you know, if you're like me, you know, had a brand new football once upon a time when you were a kid. Those things are slicker than snot when they come out of the box. Can I say that word? I don't know. And you saw both Tom Brady and Donovan McNabb having trouble controlling the football, either handling it or passing it. And I just began to think as I watched the game, and by the time the game came on, I was definitely rooting for Philly. Just from a sheer underdog factor. But... in large part, they've spoiled the game, haven't they? They've ruined it. You know, the two best teams in the National Football League who get there on guts and determination and talent and ability and smarts. So you make them lay over for 2 weeks between the conference championship and the Super Bowl. You trot them out every day to talk to the media, yada, 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 yada. What's your favorite brand of shoestring? And by the time that they get to the football game, they can't play the football game anymore. Terrell or Terrell Owens showed up as a truly class act. He was very impressive, I thought. Looked like, yeah, he didn't mail it in. He sort of, it was, I don't know, you could take his performance last night in the Super Bowl and videotape it and mail it to Randy Moss and title it "How to Be a Real Pro Football Player." It was that impressive. But doggone it, the commercials. But the pacing on it is so miserable, and that huge orgy before the game and the halftime orgy. Yeah, let these guys play football, because during the week I saw you know, the old NFL films with that guy with the voice. On a cold, wintry day in Minnesota, the Norsemen, the Vikings, under the front. Yeah. But I saw some of the work on, you know, old Super Bowls when it was still a football game. Not a life support system for corporate commercial America. I don't know. Maybe it's just because everything takes on that hazy, sepia-toned light in hindsight and distant memory. But, it looked like football back then. What this is anymore, I don't know. But, you know, we had wings. We had my not quite famous yet hot wings, and we had my invisible barbecued grilled wings. It was a lot of fun. And there was something missing there. There was something genuinely missing, and no, it wasn't because my favorite team wasn't in the game. It just there was something sort of Gertrude Steinish about it. There was no there. It was flat. It was. Yeah. But later in the evening, after that went off, after the game was over, we put the movie Troy into the DVD player. And while it's nothing I would use as a teaching tool for what the Iliad really is, I mean, you get the idea watching this movie that the Trojan War took about in 3, 4, 5 days. You know, land on the beach, Achilles goes and pouts for a while, and so you wouldn't, like I said, this is, maybe it's a nice introduction. But there are elements of the Iliad that you can't hide, whether you're making a movie of it or a new translation or a radio drama. And I got to looking at it, watching it, sort of analyzing the characters. And if you were, I got to thinking, if you were casting world leaders as characters in the Iliad, who would you cast? Would you cast George W. Bush as Agamemnon? I mean, you know he's no Odysseus. Odysseus, you know, the wily one, the crafty one. He of the great brain, Odysseus. Yeah, George W. Bush. No, not Odysseus. And he doesn't have the grace of a King Priam. You know, King Priam goes to Achilles and begs for the dead body of his son Hector, and actually weeps over a soldier. So Priam was at least one funeral ahead of George W. Bush in terms of honoring fallen military dead. Agamemnon seemed like the logical choice for George W. Bush early on, but the more I got to thinking, no, didn't work. What it boils down to, I think you would cast George W. Bush as Menelaus, the scorned king and husband of Helen. Absolutely. Because Menelaus was a man who was willing to drag the whole world into hell for his own petty ambitions. Willing to drag the whole world into hell because of his failures. Willing to drag the whole world into hell to salve his own miserable failures. Willing to drag the whole world into hell and let others die heroically while he stood by, a natural-born coward. Yep, we've seen this movie before, all right. Some of us even stayed to see the ending. And by the way, the ending's not a good thing. But a lot of there is some argument about what the real meaning of the Iliad is. Is it a heroic retelling of the great, grand, and glorious days of the ancient Homeric Greeks? Or is it a sort of mythological mea culpa? I tend to think that the Greeks used the Iliad as a sort of form of expiation. You know, we did some really rotten things starting that war over no good reason. We're sorry. Here are the lessons we learned. We hope you'll learn them too. But we don't. Everybody else afterward gets it wrong. You know, the Trojan horse doesn't make the Greeks great and wily and filled with genius. It makes them a bunch of dirty, double-dealing weasels. They won dirty. Odysseus knew they won dirty. He was just trying to get home. Agamemnon knew it. He wanted to conquer Troy. Menelaus knew it. He didn't care. He just felt cool because he got to start a war. I mean, that's why you would cast George W. Bush as Menelaus. You know, killing Helen when he got her back to Sparta would almost be more fun for George W. Bush or Menelaus than all his previous attempts to satisfy her, all of them put together. Menelaus was the world's first miserable, pseudo-macho, log cabin Republican. George is Menelaus. That's why these things are called universal truths. That's why these things are called timeless classics, because you can look at the archetypal characters that exist in them and go, I know that guy. Oh, yeah. There's a guy who's willing to lay waste the whole blessed world so he'll look a little less like a failure. Because they're with us every generation. The trick lies in learning to identify them. Right? Right. So, and you know, it wasn't a bad movie. It was not a bad movie. No Academy Awards. Like I said, you know, you might use it as an introduction to the Iliad for a bunch of fourth graders. As a faithful exposition of the text of the Iliad, not so much. But, you know, it's worth seeing. And judging from the response of my lovely wife and oldest daughter, the guys in skirts thing is an added bonus for their side of the aisle. For the guys, again, not so much. So, if you get a chance, have a look at it. You might enjoy it. More, though, if you really want some fun, get a good copy of it right there on the Internet. You can read the Iliad for free and let your mind see all those great people. Let your mind conjure up the face that launched 1,000 ships. Hero Achilles. Brave Patroclus, bold Ajax, crafty Odysseus. It's all there. And it's really fun when it's in your mind. So that's a start for Monday. We're going to take a little break, come back, and I don't know, your calls, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Lead the way. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Ladies, the clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Cluso, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, the weatherman is calling for snow this week, and I can't wait to use my new snowblower. Do you have any tips?
Certainly. Review the operator's manual carefully and follow the instructions. Read all warning labels and safety precautions, and don't forget to dress for the job. Wear safety goggles, bundle up, and avoid loose-fitting clothes that might get caught in the controls.
I'll be an expert in no time. What else?
Slow down, expert. John Deere recommends that you check the fuel level, engine oil, and the hardware before you start. After you're done, run the snowblower for a few minutes to make sure the auger and impeller don't freeze. So, expert, why not start at my house this weekend?
Sure, Bill. Only $50 an hour for a friend. And thanks to all our friends out there for listening to this edition of Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, welcome back. 21 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A little reminder, of course, we stream live for you every night at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. Enjoy it, learn it, know it, use it. And your emails are also more than welcome. You can either go through the station website to my website, HeadOnRadio.com. There's an email link there. Or you can, if you want to get it right into the station this evening, you can send it to WWNR@netphase.net. All that having been said, let's go to the phones. Jim is waiting. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Hello.
Hey, there you are.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Okay. You just sparked a memory of the Odyssey. And I think that George Bush should be called Aeolus, King of the Wind.
That's a good thought.
He's full of it.
Oh, he is.
But anyway, I saw part of the Troy movie, and that's with Brad Pitt looking like Brunhilde.
Well, yeah, and that's what I just mentioned to John Kepi. All things aside, it is worth mentioning that I could have taken the movie far more seriously had anybody but Brad Pitt played a kill. I could have taken George Clooney as Achilles. I could have taken Rosemary Clooney as Achilles over Brad Pitt.
Well, it's just amazing how they, you know, adopt some of these things. When I was a kid, my grandmother gave me a set of volumes called Tales of the Olympian Gods, and they were based on E.S. Hamilton.
Oh, absolutely.
Greekway,
right.
And these were narrated by Ronald Coleman.
Mm.
And I used to listen to those things when I was a kid, and I was just amazed, and, you know, just, it's a, you know, as you know, as the Greek myths themselves, and you know, and their whole system of mythology, which is always fascinating to me, it was one of my first childhood impressions that really, I guess, counted. You know,
right.
But anyway, I trust you had a nice weekend, and you liked the results of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, I got to the point I was actively rooting for Philly. It just, there was something about New England that just seemed like such a juggernaut that, you know, big deal. Yeah, they won another one.
Oh, well, as long as there were no more wardrobe malfunctions.
Well, I saw Paul McCartney take his sport jacket off when he went to sit down at the piano.
Oh, the tramp.
Yeah. I looked at my daughter and said, "What do you want to bet he rips the shirt off? Just for the fun of it."
No,
didn't happen.
Paul would do that.
Didn't happen.
I don't even think he did stuff like that when he was on the stage back in the 60s.
No.
Now that he's Sir Paul McCartney, I'm sure he wouldn't do it now.
We are not amused. Yeah, I know.
No, not at all. Anyway, I heard on the news this afternoon where Mr. Bush is really making some political inroads by derailing Amtrak, and also he's going to cut back on veterans benefits and Medicaid, stuff like that.
Raise the prescription copay for veterans. Absolutely. You know what? This guy is such a miserable little punk. How is it that decent people can sit there, Jim, and say, "Yeah, he loves the soldiers. Yes, sir, he sure does." How does that happen? Oh, he loves the military.
Well, let me put it to you this way. You know, think of it in a military sense. He has commenced his Operation Barbarossa, his invasion of the Soviet Union, right?
Right.
And, you know, when the Germans first invaded, they had lots of friends there. And yet, when those people began to see how bad they really were, within a year, the Germans had them sniping at their heels. And the further they went in, the longer their supply lines became stretched, the greater the loss of credibility and the belief that they could win the campaign. And then it became a war of attrition. And, you know, then that's what's going to happen to Mr. Bush and his, and all of his cohorts and their programs. I really believe that. And then they're going to be pushed back.
Well, this guy is just, I've taken to using the term pig-eyed, and you know, he's just pig-eyed, evil, mean. Anybody who's ever stared down a hostile hog knows what
he's
I'm talking
normal,
about.
He's not normal, Bob.
No, he's
sociopath.
Not.
He's a sociopath. There's no question about
you know,
that.
And they, I mean, you know, they've got the long knives out now. I mean, well, they just absolutely want to utterly kill Amtrak.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, my mom told me this. Don't ever play with knives because you can get cut.
That's true, but
they're playing with knives. He can cut both ways.
I mean, this is going directly in the opposite direction of where we need to go. You know, we can bail out hopelessly mismanaged airlines, and yet we want to cut funding from Amtrak.
Well, the only part of Amtrak that's not going to be cut is in the Northeast Corridor. I understand.
Right.
Now, maybe you know more about this.
No, that's my understanding as well.
But I mean, French and the Japanese have trains that don't even need rails to run on.
That's true.
And, you know, this is something that this country needs is a good railway system that can bind it together, because it's going to be cheaper than, I believe, than piggybacking stuff on these big trucks.
Well, can you imagine, you know, can you imagine boarding a train in D.C. that travels 175, 200 miles an hour?
Oh, there were dreams, Bob, that they would have one that would run from New York to D.C. that would go 300 miles an hour, but that never came to fruition. But the thing about it is, you've got trains in the railway system in this country now that has not been properly maintained. The switching systems are antiquated. I think they have a computer system in Jacksonville that controls the whole thing, and that may have been responsible.
That's CSX.
Okay, obviously, you know, this stuff, you know, bridges have to be repaired, rails have to be replaced, technology has to be, you know, it doesn't last forever. And, you know, I don't know what they're doing when they try to destroy a railway system that has, it ties the country together. And it's much more cost efficient than traveling on an interstate, I would think, don't you think?
It would just about have to be.
So, I mean, I think it's a very stupid maneuver. And I think the more and more people realize what happens, the more and more Medicaid programs he cuts, and the higher the misery index grows, that there will be a groundswell to, you know, stop this. And that's my fondest hope and dream.
Well, you know, you still,
that's all I can say.
You still have to take a good long hard look, Jim, and wonder a little bit. I don't know if the misery index is going to have an impact. I really don't.
Oh, it will.
Just because, I mean, as long as whatever that segment of the population out there that doesn't care what happens, just as long as they think that the rapture's day after tomorrow,
there's no such thing as a misery index for them. I think there is.
Yeah, this is an interesting list here for what George has done with his budget. Doubled copays for prescription drugs by veterans. $477 million cut in the COPS program.
The community-oriented policing system.
Yes. $5.7 billion cut over 10 years for small farmers.
So there goes the FHA.
$4.7 billion cut in community development block grants.
As well as okay.
And like we said, you know, from ear to ear.
You said block grants.
Yeah, community development block grants.
Uh huh.
Amtrak, you know, it just gets its neck slit from ear to ear. Education programs, insufficient funding for abandoned mine lands, but foreign aid goes up $2.1 billion. This from a guy who just lost $9 billion. Yeah, you can't find it.
That's a killer, isn't it?
No, it just slays me.
$9 billion.
Can't find it. Sorry,
Alibaba's got it in a cave somewhere. What do you think?
He and
his brother Kasim, as I recall from the Arabian Nights.
It's stashed down a spider hole somewhere.
Well, Alibaba's got it. That's who you might be dealing with. And what about these elections over in Iraq? I understand that they were somewhat flawed.
A little bit. And, of course, it turns out, Do you know that one of the candidates was Ahmad Jalabi? Really? Not pulling your leg. Our man in Baghdad.
Oh, Lord.
Of course, it was the Iranians saying our man in Baghdad. Woo! Yeah, Jalabi.
Well, you know, these things will eventually, of their own accord, out themselves. And, you know, they will not do him any good. His political capital just went below the baseline. I'll tell you. Now, you trust me. I got a couple of years on you. Not that many, but a couple. And I'll tell you something right now. Eventually, you know, his sins will find him out. He will endure for a season. Then he'll have his glory days, and he better count them quickly because they're coming to an end.
Well, you know, you might look around on check around on the Internet a little bit. I had an email from someone about comparisons between McKinley and Bush. And there were some rather striking ones.
You mean the one that was shot?
Yeah.
That put TR in the White House?
Correct. And it's not the shot part. It's the starting the Spanish-American War, that kind of thing. But there are some rather stunning comparisons.
Well, yeah, you had his old buddy William W.R. Hearst with that too.
Right.
You give me the papers, and I'll give you the war.
Right.
But anyway, so there it is. Who knows? But like I say, I still think of George as king of the winds, Aeolus, and the only sound that I hear coming from him is.
That's it.
That's all I got to say.
All right, we'll see you, Jim. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, let's take our bottom of the hour break. It's here already. And then we'll come back and get after it some more after a news update from Carl Mack and a little update from the Workers Independent News Service. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Two Fayette County lawmakers say it's time the state's new juvenile centers get the same attention as the state's maximum security prison. Senator Shirley Love and Delegate David Perry want lawmakers to be able to make surprise visits of juvenile centers and make sure youngsters are getting proper treatment. Lawmakers have made similar visits in recent years to Mount Olive Correctional Complex, the state's maximum security prison. And Barry says a lot of money has been invested in facilities like this, the new 25-bed juvenile detention center in Mount Hope, for one, and he wants to make sure the investment is worth it. Love says going on site without an appointment would give lawmakers a chance to assess the daily activities of the youngsters, their diet, and also how they're treated. An interim panel has endorsed a proposal to expand the powers of the newly created Water Resources Protection Commission. The commission would be expanded from 10 to 14 members, with the chairs of the Finance, Judiciary, and Natural Resources Committees represented. Before the bill was approved, Raleigh County Delegate Linda Sumner admitted so that at least two of the seven members from the House and Senate are from the minority Republican Party. Seven cost-cutting programs at the Public Employees Insurance Agency have saved taxpayers about $126 million. That's according to a report from the state legislative auditor's office. Lawmakers received the report during interim meetings yesterday in Charleston. Former Charleston resident Jennifer Garner added to her list of awards this weekend. She received the Screen Actor Guild's Award for Best Actress in a Dramatic TV Series. Garner was born in Texas, but grew up in Charleston. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Tonight will be mild with rain developing late in the night. Low tonight near 49, and then for Tuesday, mild with rain again. Tomorrow's high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, cloudy with drizzle possible, low around 40. And for Wednesday, a little bit cooler, but a chance of light rain on Wednesday with a high in the mid-40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. As of July 1st, Minnesotans could be looking at their first minimum wage increase since 1997. The state Senate voted on Thursday in favor of increasing the minimum wage to $6.10 an hour by July 2005, with a second increase to $7 an hour in July 2006. It is now up to the House and Governor Tim Pawlenty to cast their votes. Two Republicans crossed party lines to vote in favor of the increase with Senate Democrats. Nearly 50,000 Minnesotans are currently making minimum wage. Only 15 states have a minimum wage higher than the $5.15 an hour federal standard.
Walmart's plan to open a store in New York City is continuing to draw organized opposition from a broad coalition of labor, small business, and community groups. Brian McLaughlin, president of the New York City Central Labor Council, says when Walmart comes to town, it's lower living standards for workers always.
The legacy of Walmart's not lower prices. The legacy of Walmart is really lowering the living standards for working people.
McLaughlin says you don't have to take his word for it.
When you put a Walmart into a community, anywhere in the ring of that community, and you were to study it 5 years later, you would find that revenues are down, that jobs are down, net jobs, not the promise of the 400 Walmart will bring in, but net jobs are down in the retail industry. And the local merchants who pay local taxes, make local contributions to the Kiwanis, to the Rotaries, to the Little Leagues, you lose that.
New York's anti-Walmart coalition is getting good responses from city officials, according to McLaughlin, and will continue to press its public campaign against a Walmart store in New York City.
Hundreds of men and women occupied a Chevron Texaco oil terminal in Nigeria on Friday, possibly resulting in the death of two protesters. Nearby villagers used rafts to take over the terminal, seeking to force the company to honor a pledge it made 2 years ago during a similar incident. In July of 2002, hundreds of women occupied the same terminal, demanding that the company provide jobs and development projects for local villages. The 2002 occupation ended when Chevron promised to meet demands. During Friday's incident, protesters claimed that police and military are responsible for the death of two protesters when they quickly moved in to disperse the villagers. The incident is currently under investigation by the oil company. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that union laborers are more likely to have better and more workplace benefits than non-union workers. The new research says that for family coverage, 33% of union workers have no monthly premium. Only 7% of non-union workers have none. As for retirement, 69% of union workers have a defined benefit retirement plan. Only 15% of non-union workers do. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWAR, News Talk 620.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob. And a little talking about the what passes for a budget that got sent down from the White House today. My mom, God rest her soul, used to say something to me. I'd be doing something as a kid and complaining about something, and she'd say, "Son, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are so loud." And I remember my furtive attempts at studying music, and the music teacher trying to teach me that there is as much music in the spaces between the notes as in the notes themselves. And so, too, it is with this budget we've got today. There is as much budget in what's not there as in what is. Not the least of which is, you know, George still refuses to own up to reality and put his little adventure in Iraq in the budget. And he, just like I told you, he conveniently managed to keep his ideas for piratizing Social Security, at least the cost of it, out of the budget. So indeed, there is some harsh, discordant music in the empty spaces. Let's go back to the phones. 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. That's WWNR. We've got Ed. Hey, Ed, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Doing good. You?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting over a little bit of a cold, but I just wanted to comment on your comments there is what I had written down. And it's business as usual with him. He, just like this border stuff, he was supposed to put 2,000 people on for the next 5 years. But just like the school programs, he forgot to fund it.
Yeah.
He's a stinkingest liar. And you know something? It's hard to feel sorry for the people that's going to be affected by what he's done.
Well, to the extent that they voted for him, you're darn right, Ed.
Yeah, and I know that I'll be criticized for saying that, but, I think you made the statement before, stupidity is man's worst enemy.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is you have to pay for the debt. So, I really believe if there was a Congress in there that was Democratic, that this guy could be tried for crimes against humanity, for war crimes, and what a liar he is. You're talking about defacing government. He's got a monopoly on it.
Just about, Ed. And you mentioned war crimes. Did you notice that Rumsfeld was supposed to go to this international security conference in Germany? Did you see anything about that?
Uh-uh.
Well, he was supposed to, but it turns out, probably not going to go because there's a great risk the Germans will arrest him for being a war criminal and put him on trial. God knows he deserves it.
That'd make me happy. I'd help with the finances a little bit on it.
Yeah, I think I could muster up a donation.
Yeah, but the other thing is, this budget is just some more attacks on the poor. The poor is going to be left out of these programs, and whatever he calls would go before the war, go for the war. And you know, the other part of it is, it wasn't just 2 or 3 months ago. You can't pay no attention to the budget. The budget will take care of itself. But why is he attacking the poor through the budget now?
Well, because that's who, we largely eliminated being able to openly attack people based on their race or based upon their limitations or inabilities. The last open season that we've got in America, at least where the Republicans are concerned, Ed, is attacking poor people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was that filthy Ronald Reagan talking,
well, the welfare mothers are getting all of the defense industry's money.
You know,
that's who you can still spit on in America, poor folks.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it had, I think his name was Claude Pepper that challenged Reagan back then on Social Security, the guy out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is, and they're still doing songs and dances on most of these programs about Social Security and what it's going to do. And the fact of the matter, I don't think any of them knows what's there yet. But the bottom line is they're attacking Social Security. When you start taking out money, and the people should be protesting in the streets, the young people, they're the ones that they act like they're going to do them a big favor, but and in addition to that, they're going to take the money out to set aside from Social Security, and if it's already weak, how can you take money out of it to strengthen it?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the same mindset, Ed, that a couple of centuries ago would have said that, your little head cold you had over the weekend. A couple of centuries ago, there are people that would have said you needed to be bled about a pint of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, give them a good bleeding. That'll make you feel better.
Yeah, that'll cure it. They're doing it. They're doing a good job. And you know something? Like I said, it's hard to feel sorry for the people. They ought to crawl under the bed somewhere that voted for him. And I can understand the Republicans, because all they're after is a tax break. But the poor people of this nation, when George Bush gets through with them, they will have a lesson that they've learned and paid for.
Well, we know from the IQ test on November 2nd that many of us failed so miserably, Ed, that 14% of poor people in West Virginia voted for George W. Bush.
And you know what that was all about?
Gods, guns, gays.
Plus the church people that didn't have an overview of what's happened, and all they were just hung up on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
There was no concern there of these kids being born, and that was the end of it. No education, no food to keep them healthy, and it's just a joke. He is a stinking idiot. I mean, when I have the worst taste for him and any human that I have ever run into, and if the people can't see him, of course you're going to get some of these Republican calls, rebuttals, and I'd love to be where I could listen to what they said so I could call back. But, you know, shame on them is all I can say.
Well, you know, and the day is coming that when you hear people crying out about what we don't have anymore, I mean, you and I, Ed, we're going to have the pleasure of looking at them and saying, did you vote for George Bush?
Yeah.
And if on the odd chance they're honest enough to say, yes, I did, then you just say, you made your bed.
Yeah. Well, I got a daughter that they're in the 30,000s range of money, which is no money now a year, but she qualified for special medicine before George Bush took some of these actions, you know, for allergies and stuff, and special medicine. But right away, that was stopped. And I told her, I said, well, you need to call George Bush. He'll send you some money. So, I mean, you know, I've got them in the family that's thoroughbred at rear end.
I know.
So I wish I could hear your program. I enjoy just hanging on the phone till to hear what's going on. And I missed your football thing there. He told me he was on football, and I told him I'd wait till you got off of it. But just one comment on that.
Sure.
There ain't no match for them quarterbacks. McNair, Naird, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You don't do the stuff he did, throwing that ball down the middle with 30 seconds left to go. If he'd have caught it, the time would have run out. That's just everything was poor judgment in that last quarter.
There was a good bit of that, and again, what I did mention was Joe Buck's comment about putting a new football in every play.
Yeah.
And you can't hand it. They're slick.
Yep, they're too. You might as well grease them with lard.
Yeah, and the only reason we're doing that is so that the NFL can give them away to its corporate fat cats.
He's a hooker and everything, ain't they?
Oh well, absolutely. I mean, this is 21st century America. It's about the money, Ed.
Yeah, you know what?
What?
It is just super hard to trust anything until the whole. It's like an inner tube, but you can hold down a while underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till some of it pops up, and you'll be able to see the picture.
Yeah.
But it's our nation. You know, I heard a woman say the other day that America had gone to hell in a handbag, and I think that's really it's worse than that. And all these people on trial and more corporate scandal now under Bush. I mean, Reagan had 125 indictments, but where are we going with Bush?
Oh, hey, you know, these guys in the Bush administration had they make the Reagan administration look like a bunch of Sunday school kids.
They do, and you know the part of it that ain't gonna sit good is when he does get out of office. No matter how much time, they'll fight it in court. Maybe put 6 months in jail till he starts to get out of office, and then they'll be set free. But just let anybody else, and you know, a good example of it. Look at what they did to them people, and you know, I'm not defending those people that did those children in Florida like that at all. But look at how quick they were gotten and indicted for treating kids wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That is a disgrace to this country, the long drug out. And you know, most of it's a lawyer's game, bleeding them out of every dime that they can get out of them.
Some of it is. You're absolutely right.
But you get some of them poor people, and I agree with it. Process it as quickly as possible. That's what the Bill of Rights or the Constitution 1 calls for.
Right to a speedy trial.
That's right. And look, you got the O.J. Simpsons, and I don't mean to be picking on the black race, but look what happened. There's money. Then look at Jackson. There's money.
Toby Bryant,
and possibly, what's this other guy, Scoop Dogg, or whatever his name is?
Snoop, yeah.
This don't look too good.
R. Kelly.
Who?
A guy named R. Kelly, alleged to be pedophile. You're right, and I don't know if it's just because we're aware of it, because we're beaten over the head with it on TV day in and day out, or if the culture really is sliding downhill.
There's no doubt in my mind, and you know, it's just like this county over here, where that pedophile or whatever you want to call him killed that boy.
Yeah,
There's something there. You know, they had almost threatened to prosecute an attorney in this county to get anything done here, and I don't know where that is now, but it was threatened to be taken out of here, change of venue. But, it's just our justice system is owned by the rich.
Sure.
Drug out by the rich. But anyway,
you can have, yeah, you're right, Ed. You can
wanting to fight.
Thanks so much, Ed. I appreciate it.
Okay, Bob.
Have a great night.
And you have a good evening.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
All right. Ed raises a lot of good points. Let's look at, and you know, look, we know what this budget's going to look like. But let's look at it in terms of what it means to West Virginia. Consider what this pig-eyed little punk in the White House is doing to our state. You know, the one that he visited so much when it was a battleground. Remember? And all the promises he made. Let's see. $8.4 million being cut out of his budget for vocational education in West Virginia. $3.8 million hacked out of the education technology budget. $3.1 million hacked out of the Safe and Drug-Free Schools program. $1.6 million hacked away from West Virginia for family literacy. $1.5 million hacked away for comprehensive school reform that fosters school-wide improvements to help students do better in school. No child left behind? No child's behind left, sunshine. And safe and drug-free schools. Yeah, we don't need that program. What? My 17-year-old's going to study better if she's all energized on crank and crack and no, we don't need that money, George. Thanks. You need it for your war, don't you? Okay, that's fine. And family literacy. How many times do I have to say on this program, the dumbing down of America is a deliberate act. It is a conscious act. It is mean-spirited, it is cynical, it is dirty, and it's real. $1,600,000 cut out of family literacy programs. Hillbillies don't need to know how to read. You know, we can control them a lot better when they're stupid. Oh, yeah, we were a battleground state. And we drank the Kool-Aid. And the poisonous tree is bearing fruit, isn't it? Family literacy programs, and this dirty punk wants to cut $1.6 million out of it because West Virginians don't need to be doing that reading. Why, they can watch American Idol on Fox. They can watch Who Wants a Millionaire's Nose. Oh, we got plenty of television for them to watch. And there's always the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I don't even know why they turn over. That ought to be the only channel on television for a bunch of illiterate hillbillies. $1.6 million gone from family literacy programs in West Virginia alone. Where are the priorities? And when Chicken George announced the other night in the State of the Union that he was going to send Laura to South Central L.A. to get the gang members to go to church. Woo! Well, the numbers on that program, if he bothers to fund it, and odds are he won't, comes out to like, what, $1 million a state? Something like that. You know, what can it really? $1 million? $10 million wouldn't be enough to fully fund and cure the gang problems in South Central or Philly or New York or Chicago, St. Louis, East St. Louis. But it sounds awfully good coming off the teleprompter, doesn't it? But what it boils down to, no cuts for the Pentagon. No accountability whatsoever for this blood fest in Iraq. But by golly, we are going to hold first graders' feet to the fire. Now, I've heard Dr. Bill say in his show from time to time that he believes that No Child Behind left is nothing short of a long-term assault on the idea of public education in the United States. And I'm in complete agreement. Something Senator Byrd said today, at a time when schools are struggling to meet increasing federal education guidelines with already limited resources, the Bush administration has proposed the first cut to the education budget in a decade. It makes no sense to require more and more from our teachers and students while at the same time cutting the funding and programs that help schools to reach those goals. I wish I could talk all nicey light like that. Instead, every time I try to do something, it comes out, you know, dirty, rotten, pig-eyed morons want to dumb down the country and steal. You use our tax dollars to blow up Muslims in Iraq instead of educating children in America. And how many times have you seen him, you know, standing in front of his stupid little backdrop with the reminder for what the speech is, you know, technology for America. Educating our little ones. You know, whatever the stupid backdrop is. And see him stand. We're going to have an increasingly more intelligentified workforce. He doesn't want that. He's not interested in that. He doesn't care as much about children's education as a hog does about Sunday. Good God. You don't really buy that when you hear him say it, do you? Because the fact of the matter is, $3.1 million cut away from safe and drug-free schools in West Virginia alone. $1.6 million cut away from family literacy. Yeah, he wants an intelligent workforce. Why in the hell do you want an intelligent workforce when what you're aiming to do is turn them into serfs? Peasants, vassals, villains. I tell you. But, you know, your kids don't need education. My kid doesn't need a decent education. What they need is to go to one of these religion industry schools so they can be taught miracle math made easy, where 1 and 1 equals 6.2378. Or where 1 equals 3. Trinity math made easy. Yeah, that's what they need. Don't need scientists. Don't need the disease curers. Need serfs. Serfs who will watch their TV, do the corporate bidding, and curse their existence. Yeah, that's the Republican way of things, isn't it? All right, it's time to check out the top of the hour CBS News. We'll be back after that. Your calls are welcome at 252-6200, outside Beckley at 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah.
News Talk 620, WWNR. WWNR, Beckley. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 8 o'clock.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A slow-moving cold front is coming our way, so for tonight we'll see variable amounts of cloud cover. There will be a risk of showers. This chance of rain will hold off until after midnight. Our low down to 42. Showers likely Tuesday morning. They will taper off Tuesday afternoon. A little cooler with a high around 54. Showers on Wednesday, high 49. Then on Thursday, windy and colder with snow showers and a high only around freezing. This is meteorologist Mike Sinniford from the Weather Channel.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed, we're back. Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is head-on. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. The budget seems to be taking center stage this evening. And, you know, talking about dumbing down America. You know, this guy can lie all he wants to about it. We're going to make America more intelligentified. But his budget is his truth. Don't believe a word he says until you see what kind of financial commitments he's going to make. Now, the No Child Left Behind Act, the NCLBA, has a lot to do with what's called Title I funding. About half of the public schools in West Virginia get Title I funding. And those go to enhance the educational experience of children in poor school districts, cash-strapped school districts. And according to the NCLBA, there are funding requirements built into it. And those, all the way through 2007, this year, nationwide, No Child Left Behind. What a dumb name. It's nothing but campaign slogans with these clowns. If they can come up with a slogan, it doesn't matter if there's any meat on the bones. This year, nationwide, No Child Behind Left, No Child Left Behind mandates that $22.75 billion be spent. Now, that's law, right? I mean, this was passed by Congress. They had a signing ceremony in the Rose Garden or the little ante room to hell that's George Bush's Oval Office. I don't know. $22.75 billion legislatively mandated for No Child Left Behind this year alone. And Bush's budget, what does that say? It says, sorry, thanks for playing. It comes up short, $9.4 billion. Just slightly more money than George lost somewhere in the back alleys of Baghdad. Now, taken all together over the course of the years that over the course of years, so from 2001 to now, you know what the shortfall is? Do you know how much George has stiffed school children in this country? $30.8 billion. Of course I did. That's a month's worth of war in Iraq. Now, dealing with West Virginia. Just West Virginia. Little old us. Little old beaten and bedraggled West Virginia. In the coming year, Title I schools were promised $182 million. That was the promise. The reality, $107 million. Oh, he's a fiscal conservative, all right, when it comes to screwing little children. When it comes to, veterans' prescription benefits, where the copay is going to double. That shortfall from that gap between $182 million and $107 million that are actually called for in Yellow Georgia's budget denies Title I services educational enhancement to 23,475 public school students in West Virginia alone. The White House also promised, you know, we have a saying around our home, and we try to live by it, whether it's the children talking to us or my lovely wife and I talking to the children. We say, a promise made is a promise kept. Well, the White House, it doesn't work that way at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The White House promised $17.6 million for West Virginia after school programs. How much do we get? $9.9 million less than that. We only get $7.7 million. In the budget. What does that mean in human being terms? That means no after school services for 13,339 little West Virginians. And all the time, these children who are getting stiffed by this good, godly man are expected to perform better every year than the year before on standardized testing. Every year they have to score better. Now, never mind the mathematical improbability of that. Never mind that. Never mind the torture that comes with the worries that children get from the testing itself. The upset stomachs, the throwing up, the mommy, I don't want to go to school today. These kids are expected to perform on these tests like some sort of trained circus beasts in order for the schools to stay open. Think about that. Because you see, that is the goal. Closing, killing the public school system is the goal of these godforsaken, godless Republicans. Okay, little Susie, better do well on the test or you don't get to go to school anymore. We'll cut your funding. What's that mean? No more art class. No more music class. No more PE. Of course, if you're really good, we'll get Massey to come in here and give a demonstration of how you're going to be a coal slave someday. They really do. They have to perform better every year than the year before on the tests. And if they don't, the school is designated a failure. And the child's place of public education slides into an ignominious death. And yeah, there are a bunch of people within the sound of my voice who voted to screw those children. George Bush sent this filthy little low-rent America on the cheap budget down to the Congress. But there are thousands, millions of enablers who made that possible. Thanks. on behalf of my kids and a whole lot of other ones. Thanks. Now go somewhere and pretend you're pro-life. Bite me. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Would you rather have the flu than pay another dollar to your cable company? For less than what you're paying for cable, the DirecTV Total Choice with Local Channels package gets you access to over 125 channels for only $39.99 a month. Just listen to what your neighbors are saying. Excuse me, why did you choose DirecTV?
Simplicity, cost.
Because of how many channels it has.
With DirecTV, our picture clarity is just so much better than it was.
I am fed up with cable.
Act now and get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free for all new customers with an annual programming commitment. And as always, your standard professional installation is included at $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. As an added bonus, when you get your DirecTV system from American Satellite, you qualify for a free gift. Proof of activation is required. So if you're sick of cable, call now and start saving with DirecTV. Call American Satellite at 1-800-641-0928. That's 1-800-641-0928. Call now.
That kick just slams and it goes in.
And the Cougars are on a roll.
His sixth three-pointer of the game, and this one from 11 feet beyond the arc.
And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I National Champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
Little Timmy Kelly's premature birth left him blind and with little chance of ever walking. Then his parents found help and hope at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners combine expert orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care with world-class research and teaching programs, and there's never a charge. Today, Timmy lives a full and active life. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
We're back. It's almost 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You know, you reach into this nasty little budget. And have you ever seen the way that poisonous snakes will coil together in a big, slithering, creepy crawl? You know, just a knot of them. Oh, it's a snake, and you get rid of it. Oh, there's another snake. This is like something out of an Indiana Jones movie. It's snakes all the way down. There's something on the federal level. This is another one of those things that isn't worth keeping, mind you. On the federal level, there is a scholarship program funded through the Department of Education. Congress set it up. It's a scholarship program that provides $1,500 scholarships to high school students who demonstrate outstanding academic achievement and have been accepted to a college or university. Students who get the first-year scholarship are then eligible to apply for the following 3 years. They can get up to $6,000 of college education assistance. I like that. Sounds like a good... You, John? Yeah? Okay. We got two votes yes on the scholarship program. For the current school year, more than 27,000 students across the country got these scholarships. 144 of them were your fellow West Virginians, the people who are going to be running the country when you're gumming your creamed corn. Guess what? Eliminated. Not cut, eliminated. How do you justify this? And, really, Bush voters, how do you justify doing this to children? I can't. You know, what happened to all the warm, smarmy, I believe the children are the future. What happened to that? Is that just something we sing about? Are we utterly a nation of hypocrites now? We can talk about no child left behind. We can talk about wanting them to have an education. But when the rubber hits the road, no, sorry, we don't have the money for it. Well, Bob, don't you know we're in a war? We're in a war we started. Well, somebody's got to pay for that. Yeah. Yeah, we pay with our money, we pay with our tears, we pay with our sweat, we pay with our blood. And if you go in for this kind of thing, we pay with our karma. God bless America? No, I said it before. We better change that to God forgive America. No blessing till you're done with the forgiven. Scholarship program, $1,500 and then $2,000 a year thereafter for studying hard and making good grades. Because America needs smart people. Or at least that's what the way we used to think. Do we still need them? Don't know. Apparently not if you look at the Bush budget. And again, little reminder, the war isn't in the budget. At all, period. It's not in the budget. The Pentagon's annual orgy is in the budget. But what the Pentagon's getting doesn't cover what the Pentagon's spending on the war. The war is going to be covered by a supplemental appropriation. And when it comes time, Bush will go to Congress and he'll say, I want another $100 billion for Iraq. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to call you an American and sick Reverend Dobson on you. And he's liable to call you queer. You don't want that, do you? Give him $100 billion. I've come down here real nice and I've asked you for it. Now give me it. Because it costs money to kill people. Lord, 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 Lord. So you understand now, right, that the only way this can look like a responsible budget is if you look the other way and cough. This is pathetic. Fully one-third of the cuts inside this budget are to children's programs. And this is a pro-life administration? This is a pro-child administration? Nah, this is a pro-birth administration. This is a pro-barefoot and pregnant administration. Have more babies. We don't give a tinker's damn what happens to them after they're born, between when they're born and when we induct them into the military. You feed them good, though, because we want them good and strong when it's time to go out and get them killed. Pro-life. You know, I wouldn't care at this point if every time someone, I'm pro-life, I'm anti-abortion, oh, shut up and just sort of backhand them. Hypocrite. Stupid. Cannon fodder for the culture wars. You know, pro-life. You're supporting a man who's not pro-life. You're supporting a man who's pro-death. You're supporting a man who is anti-kid. And it's really, really disgusting. Now, you know, on the other hand, you know, I mentioned something the other night, about the fact that I refuse to be a part of George Bush's cat food generation. That in fact, I'll eat Republican before I'll eat the cat food. I got to thinking about that a little bit. And that whole idea could be very, very good for West Virginia. You know, we've already got a vibrant burgeoning outdoor activities industry, hunting, fishing, rock climbing, cycling, whitewater rafting. The licenses you'd have to buy for this all by themselves, they could be a real revenue boost. Yeah, think of it. Think of it. I mean, you can see it in your mind. It's a brisk, early autumn mountain morning. The fog's not yet all the way up out of the hollers. And you and your little boy are in the tree stand. Mom set you up with some homemade hot cocoa for the day's trip. You got some barbecue sandwiches in your bag for lunch later. Your breaths are steamy in the morning chill. The sun's coloring the sky. Can't whistle either. You look down to your little boy, and he's all eager. He's anxious, you know, kind of like a thoroughbred, straining at the traces. And you whisper, "Okay, son, get ready." Use the conservative call, and he raises it to his lips.
Chirp it down, chirp it down.
And it's quiet. Minutes pass. You say, "Well, I guess that's the wrong call for this morning. Try the other one." And you see the boy put up the call.
Prophesize, prophesize.
Minutes pass. Still nothing. "Well, son, one last chance. Better go to Old Faithful."
"Really? I get to use Old Faithful?"
"Yep. Get in the bag and pull out Old Faithful. It's never failed us yet, son. Have at it."
"Pro-life! Pro-life! Abortion's murder. Abortion's murder."
"Game, boy! Bam! Nice shot, son."
"Thanks, Dad."
"Ooh, and a big fat one, too. Looks like a stockbroker. He's gonna be a heck of a drag, but we're gonna eat good for a week, boy. Yeah, the revenues could be great here in West Virginia. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid."
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Fayette County residents have voted to continue three excess levies for another 5 years. The levies have been in place since the early 80s. Starting July 1st, they'll raise more than $2 million. And Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird says the money is very much needed.
These funds are used to support the employment of approximately 17 Fayette County deputy sheriffs, in addition to much-needed support for our local libraries and fire protection services.
74% of voters approved the law enforcement levy, 76% voted in favor of the library's levy, and 77% approved the fire levy. Under state law, passage requires at least a 60% vote. Beckley's Mayor Emmett Pugh says a user's fee on those who work in the city is not likely soon. A recent presentation by the department heads to city officials shows that after salaries, benefits, and expenses, there's only $2.5 million left in the city's $12.5 million operating budget. If those trends continue, the city will have to find new ways to raise revenue. But the mayor says nothing will be occurring for some time. Charleston and Huntington both have user fees on city workers, and officials say it's been a boom to their budgets. Charleston has used the money raised from its fee to pave roads and put more police in troubled neighborhoods. A McDowell County man has been airlifted to a hospital after apparently shooting himself in the head yesterday. The incident occurred at around 5:30 yesterday evening at a house in the Twin Branch area near Davie. State police say the shooting appears to have been self-inflicted. And union membership is on the rise in West Virginia. That's a stark contrast to the nation. According to a report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the percentage of the national workforce belongs to unions fell from 12.9% in 2003 to 12.5% last year. That's the news. Here's the forecast. This evening becoming cloudy. Later tonight, showers develop, but it stays warm. Low tonight near 40. And then for tomorrow, mild with rain. Tomorrow's high 56. Tomorrow night, cloudy with drizzle, low near 40. And the chance of rain on Wednesday, still warm, but temperatures only in the upper 40s on Wednesday. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Even from the convoluted depths of Lewis Carroll's fertile imagination, where down is up and wrong is right, the Alice in Wonderland author could not have conjured up a scene as bizarre as George W.'s $40 million inaugural extravaganza. Lavish balls, sumptuous gourmet meals, copious champagne brunches, indulgent corporate-sponsored receptions in posh private clubs, a cornucopia of excess for the privileged and connected, dancing in a swirl of political self-congratulation, and in anticipation of political rewards to come for those elites who picked up the $40 million tab. All this unseemly splurging while the loved ones of Americans who are neither privileged nor connected are mired in the deadly mayhem of George W.'s disastrous war in Iraq. One visual summed up the moral divide between those few so gaily dancing the war away in Washington and those many trapped so miserably in the brutal reality of Iraq. It was the recurring scene of stretch Hummer limousines ferrying the resplendent Gucci crowd from one gaudy gathering to the next, while soldiers driving real Humvees had been denied the protective armor that could save their lives. Indeed, $40 million could buy quite a bit of armor. In 1945, when our troops were in another raging war, Franklin Roosevelt rightly insisted on modesty and austerity for his inaugural, even noting in his formal address that it was appropriate, quote, that the form of this inauguration be simple and its words brief. But in the wonderland of Bush world, modesty is no virtue and hubris is to be celebrated. So party down, y'all. This is Jim Hightower saying, there were even special inaugural blowouts for the 20-somethings, including George's own war-age daughters who loudly proclaimed their support for Daddy's war, but not so much that they would join it. In Bush's world, the elites declare war. Other people do the fighting and dying.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The library needs your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a teacher. Just a little something.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
We're back. It's 27 minutes before 9 o'clock. A quick email for you. This from our good friend, Annette. She says, hi, Bob. I heard on the news this evening that our new governor has some new ideas for state employees. He wants them to learn how to properly answer the telephone. He's also going to implement a new dress code for employees. But the best of all, he expects employees to stand when he enters the room. My God, what has happened to our government? Have all these elected jokers gotten to the point that they all think they're so elite that the peasants have to stand in honor of them? That's not honor, Nanette. That's awe. For heaven's sake, they're nothing but public servants. I think they need to have a stern reminder of that fact. Yeah, we get a shot at that every 4 years at the ballot booth. Oh, she's right. Now, to be fair to Joe, he came out on one of the radio shows around the state earlier today, and he said, now, nobody has to stand up when I come in the room. That was just my protocol guy trying to figure out how we could be more polite and hoity-toity. Brother. Nothing but public servants. who was it? I think it was mentioned on the show the other night. Ben Franklin suggested that we not even pay the public servants. You want to be a public servant? Be a public servant. I'm not going to pay you. Now, and Nanette, I was absolutely dumbfounded when I saw this in the Gazette today. You hear this? I wouldn't be doing this if this wasn't a real Charleston Gazette. Where's the story? Yeah. What's it say in here? All employees also must stand up whenever Manchin, his staff, Ferguson, or any other cabinet secretary walks into a room. The word came down to 201 employees who received an email from Helen Wilson, director of Robert W. Ferguson's Information Services and Communications Division. West Virginia Department of Administration employees no longer can sell Girl Scout cookies, wear jeans, or publicly disagree with Robert W. Ferguson Jr. Jesus! Can't publicly disagree. Yes, mein Führer, your tie looks fabulous this morning. The memo went out Thursday to people working for the Department of Administration, Bureau of Employment Programs, and Workers' Compensation Commission. And now Joe does say you don't have to stand up when he comes in the room. And you don't have to open the door for him, and you don't have to light his cigarette either. I don't know, he doesn't smoke. Ferguson apparently is willing to discuss issues with his employees asking for background information and their opinions, but, quote, when you leave the room, you, of course, are expected to support the decision. This new administration wants to make sure that we are all speaking from one voice. But I guess, well, if you have a job where you crawl around on the floor, you get to keep wearing your blue jeans. No more Avon, no more home interior, no more jewelry, no more Girl Scout cookies, school fundraisers, and so forth. And now on that part of it, I got to tell you, I'm okay with it. Every time you turn around, somebody's got... And, okay, when I was a little boy, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and the magma was just cooling, periodically, the Latin club, the drama club, the football team, we were constantly selling something for somebody. And I went to my dad and I said, will you help me, will you hustle some of this for me at work? And he goes, no, I won't. He said, that's your job to sell that stuff. Not mine. I'm doing my job. Now, you may think his attitude harsh. I agree with it now. And bear in mind, I grew up in a neighborhood. So it was no big deal for me to go door to door. And I did pretty well. It's a different story for my son and my daughters, because we live in a rural area now, to walk out a, one-lane road with, log trucks, every minute and a half. But I've seen this go down before where, the Girl Scout order form is just laying there on the desk. Or God knows, home interior. Oh, Lord, home interior. Bane of my existence at one point in time. Junk. So, that probably doesn't have a place in serious government. No more emails, selling personal items, and limit any personal use of the internet and email. Personnel is coming here, yada, yada. Telephone, here it is. Always answer with good morning or afternoon. Identify your division's name and your name. Always say, how may I help you? Never say, how can I help you? And this, this is going to hit the national news. West Virginia government employees have to be taught how to answer telephone. And what? Maybe a scene. Maybe a scene from Sergeant York with Walter Brennan screaming into the Walter. No. The hillbilly mother of Alvin.
Alvin, hello. Is that you, Alvin? When you coming home?
They'll do it to us again. They will do it to us again. From the state that gave you chicken stomping and Private Lindy England, now comes, we don't know how to use the darn newfangled telephone machine thingy. Oh, God. No, please, not again. So Joe says they don't have to stand up when he comes in the room. Good. I think he kind of had to get away from that one in a hurry, didn't he? But this business about, once the decision has been reached, you will agree with the decision. What's that mean? Is that the end of whistleblowers in West Virginia? If somebody makes a horrifying mistake, say, Robert W. Ferguson, whom I don't know and probably is a great guy, from the looks of things, since he knows how to answer the phone correctly and knows how to stand up when royalty enters the room, I'm guessing he probably knows which one's the shrimp fork and how to use not to drink out of the finger bowl and everything about being all civilized and such. Dadgummit! There is, honest to Pete, there is a segment or an element in our society that wants to be royal so badly they can taste it. Or not necessarily be royal, but have someone royal to adore. You'll recall at this nation's nativity, the tradition, or so we're taught in the history books right over there next to the paragraph about George Washington throwing his spare change across a river or something. But the tradition in this country, or the tradition in civilized society. Oh, mother, I do so love society. Get me another Lox Vomit canapé. The tradition was to bow. When you came in, you bowed to them, and they bowed back to you. And it's said to have been George Washington who instituted the idea of shaking hands. I don't know if there's any truth to it. That's what I was told. But that was a distinct effort, if it is true, to get away from our royalist roots. We're going to stop all this bowing and scraping and kings and royalties and earls and lords and vicomtes and marquises and marquises. And we're all going to have one title. We're all just going to be citizens. We are going to be equal in the eyes of man and in the eyes of law. And from that day to this, there has been a cadre of people who hate that notion. And I don't know why. What is it in the human spirit that says that we've got to have somebody else to worship? Some other human. Yeah. Well, it's my dad again, I guess. Preaching that everybody puts their pants on the same way every morning. And it rubbed off. All men are created equal. Do you understand what that means? That means nobody is better than another person by virtue of blood or title or inheritance. And we finally got around, after a little four-year dust-up called the Civil War, race. We're all equally as good as one another. That's not to say some people aren't smarter than other people. Some people aren't more athletically talented. But, you know, we're all here serving the same life sentence that Jim Morrison biography. No one here gets out alive. No one does. We don't have time for kissing the ring. We don't have time for making obeisance to some other human who is no better than us. And yet we have people who want to turn backwards. Oh, you got to stand up when the exalted 32nd Noble Turk for Commerce walks in the room. No, I don't. I'm paid to do a job. I'm doing my job. I'm busy. It's the scene from A Night at the Opera. Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool, Mrs. Claypool, Herr Gottlieb, Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Now we got enough for bridge. Do you see? What? Why? Is it because we think so little of ourselves or that we somehow bask in the reflected grandness of another human being? I think there's an element of that. Now, I'm part of that generation that grew up on Dr. Seuss. Did you grow up on Dr. Seuss, Joe? Know the Sneetches? The Sneetches. I know the Sneetches very well. And it just further proves Ted Geisel's genius that he could identify this stuff and write a story that had greater meaning for adults than it did for children, that children would find absolutely captivating, those funny drawings. And the Sneetches, the star-bellied Sneetches, and the Sneetches with no stars upon bars. This is Sneetchism. This is Sneetchism in Charleston. And yuck, yuck, just yuck. This is a republic. No titles or emoluments, please. And so I'm not gooning on Joe. Joe backed away from it. You know, that was the smart thing to do. But I can't help but have just a little bit of concern about Mr. Ferguson. You know, Joe says he's about as relaxed a governor as you can get, and no standing is required. And here it is. Damnation, here it is. Ferguson says his department is still working on a list of protocols for the governor's office. He believes standing up when Freudian slip. Now, this is a story from West Virginia Metro News, okay? Listen very carefully to the way it is written. He believes standing up when the mansion enters is simply a sign of respect for the office. The mansion. All hail the mansion! Now, the writer of the story, to be fair, probably meant to write the governor or when mansion, and he was halfway through his little rewrite, and this one slipped through, calling Dr. Freud. But there it is. Standing up when mansion enters is simply a sign of respect for the office. I am so damned sick for these office respecters. I have, what? How do you respect an office? This is just, this is a concept foreign to me as a constitutionalist, foreign to me as an American, foreign to me as a sovereign member of this nation, foreign to me as office respecting. We run around office respecting. It's a darn fine piece of carpet on the office floor. Boy, do I respect that carpet. What a desk. I respect that desk. What a chair. That chair is deserving of a great deal of respect. Man, what a fountain pen. I really respect that fountain pen. And the carpet and the desk and the chair and the fountain pen do not give a tinker's damn about your respect. Gosh, I sure respect that grass. I guess I better mow it. Respect for the office. Bug spray. humans may respect one another. And that respect is predicated upon one's qualities as a human. Right? Right? Sure. Makes sense. I mean, is Mr. Ferguson trying to tell me that if Joe turns out to be a really... And I'm not saying he is, okay? That lighten up. But if he should happen to turn out to be a really rotten governor, is he saying that I still got to respect the office? That I got to be nice to him because he's governor? President? 32nd exalted noble Turk? You know, this respect the office garbage has a little whiff of fascism about it. And royalism. And there is not 10 cents worth of it that is democratic or free thinking or enlightened. This office respect, you know, office respecting will cause you no end of trouble. You do understand that, don't you? It was, I've got to find a better example. It was office respecting that kept Nixon in office longer than he had any business being there. It's office respecting that gets us Iraq-mired up in blood and death in Mesopotamia. Well, it's no different than those sycophantic, spineless Democrats who sat there in Torquemada's confirmation hearings and said, "Well, Judge Gonzalez, I have a great deal of respect for your story." Bug spray. How can you respect the story if you don't respect the man? And how can you respect a man who sanctions torture? It's just another way of being gutless. It's political cover. It's ostrichism. Do ostriches really stick their head in the sand? I don't know. Like all that believing that goes on. I believe this. I believe that. No, just say what it is that's on your mind. You're not going to give it any more credibility by telling us that it's something that comes from the Tinkerbell part of your brain. Hey, let's go back to the phone. Jim's with us and had another thought. Hey, Jim.
Hey, you know, Bob, I'll tell you, this is something. You know, when I worked at Andrews Air Force Base and at the Radius Center, the headquarters of the Air Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Don Shepard was the major general who was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, is now the military advisor to CNN. You've seen him on TV, I'm sure.
Sure.
I worked for him. He would come into my cubicle, and I'd be busy at my computer working on a program or something, and he would just sit down and then tap me on the shoulder and say, "Jim, how's it going?" There was no protocol there.
You mean you didn't have to jump up and kiss the ring?
No, and neither did General Arnold, who's now the commander of NORAD. No, it wasn't like that.
Well, tell me, Jim, if I'm off base on this, but isn't there just something in this that smacks of the pettiness of a small mind?
Both these men flew Phantoms in Vietnam.
Right.
They didn't need that kind of stuff. You know, here's another thing. I heard Jim Hightower make a comment about the Bush girls.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's go back to World War One when Russia was in the war.
Mm-hmm.
So even the Empress Alexandra, as bad as she was been maligned by history, even she and her daughters, the ones who were old enough, their Imperial Highnesses, they all took courses and became certified Red Cross nurses and turned their palaces into hospitals for soldiers. And, you know, they looked at the worst wounds and dealt with the worst types of situations, and they did not blanch it or turn away from it.
Well, no, and
I mean, you know, that ought to tell you something.
Sure.
About people. This was, you know, Russian imperial royalty, and yet the Empress, as bad as she was, had good intentions and became a certified Red Cross nurse, as did her two oldest daughters. And, you know, they did what they could, and, you know, they weren't dancing. They weren't having a party. I mean, they did some bad things, but at least their hearts were in the right place, I do believe.
Well, yeah, but this crowd, It is. This is small-minded stuff, Jim.
Hey, this is what I call faux royalty.
Yeah.
False royalty.
Absolutely.
That's my point, Bob.
And you know, this you know, I mean, like I said, I'm all for getting rid of the Avon catalogs and the home interior and the Girl Scout cookies. You know, that's not business. But by the same token, you got to stand, or you got to kiss the ring, or make some sort of kowtow. No, these are merely citizens that we, by our own consent, have raised up to take care of the business of running the show. It doesn't confer them any special status. Do you realize that in some states, the official term, the official appropriate form of or honorific for the governor is Your Excellency?
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, His Excellency the Governor. Ugh. I mean, I think I'm in a place where a lot of America doesn't go anymore, and that's that revolutionary spirit that spawned the formation of this country. And we've gotten shed of a bunch of it, haven't we?
These people are so secure in themselves, their own identities and personalities, and their offices, that such gestures of obeisance aren't necessary, and they realize it. And they realize that, you know, being respectful of the lower echelons is not only a mark of a good leader, but also a decent human being.
Yeah. Well, I hope Joe's got things set straight on this, because the couple of times that I met him on the campaign trail, seemed like a down-to-earth guy. And this is just a level of royalism that West Virginia doesn't need.
You got it, buddy.
All right, thanks, Jim. Take care. And time for the top of the hour news. It's about 3 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Ulano, following his passion for music has been one of the keys to healthy aging. Speaking at a recent workshop, Ulano, a drummer who has 2,800 instruction books to his credit and has appeared on television with Steve Allen on The Tonight Show, says,
I'm going to be 84 in August. I'm still playing drums. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and practice and teach people how to stay in shape. And one of the things I do every day is I lift weights, and a lot of people who know me know that it's one of my passions, because it keeps the arm strong. To play this instrument, one has to be in physical shape. To play all instruments, saxophone, you got to have your wind column strength. I tell everybody, if you want to stay in good shape, you got to find a system in which you got to get up every day, find a way to keep your body strong.
This is Calvin Jackson of the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I am so ready for spring. I'm already thinking about new equipment. When will my local dealer replace snow blowers with string trimmers?
Probably already has. Manufacturers typically introduce new products in the fall, and they start arriving in dealer showrooms in early winter. So take advantage. Go check out the newest technology and designs.
Good idea. I've had my eye on this new lawnmower.
Well, before you blindly follow that eye, make sure it's a match for your lawn's size and contour. For lawns less than a third of an acre, a walk-behind mower can get the job done in about an hour. If you've got more than a half acre, though, a riding lawnmower or lawn tractor is the way to go. And when you go to the dealership, don't be afraid to ask questions.
How about color?
I would like green myself.
I bet you do, Bill.
Matches my lawn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
Born with a rare birth defect, Elena had little chance of ever walking until her family found health and hope at a Shriners hospital. Today, Elena is an unstoppable six-year-old. Shriners combine expert orthopedic, spinal cord, and burn medical care with world-class research and teaching programs, and there's never a charge. There's a Shriners hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. A slow-moving cold front is coming our way, so for tonight we'll see variable amounts of cloud cover. There will be a risk of showers. Best chance of rain to hold off until after midnight. Our low down to 42. Showers likely Tuesday morning. They will taper off Tuesday afternoon. A little cooler with a high around 54. Showers on Wednesday, high 49. Then on Thursday, windy and colder with snow showers and a high only around freezing. This is meteorologist Mike Sinniford from the Weather Channel.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
WWNR, Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. For those of you listening on the internet, you did not hear what I heard at CBS's Top of the Hour News. Rambunctious CIA agent running around a hotel in Fargo, North Dakota, setting off fire alarms. Getting all liquored up before the president gets to Fargo. Gonna have me some fun. Left a gas mask in the bar. Woo! we pay this guy. Oh, they're just playful. I mean, they can't be serious all the time, can they? No! So, you know, set off a few fire alarms. Boy. Wait, you know, like I said, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, they told us in school that was about the worst thing you could do was to make a false fire alarm. That was right at you know, and speaking of the Fargo, you know, it was in Fargo that the list showed up that said if you were a citizen who disagreed with Bush, you couldn't get in to see him. And the White House said, well, we didn't have anything to do with that. And the people in Fargo said, we didn't have any. Well, the truth is out there. If you want to, you can go to buzzflash.com. It was right at the top of the list of links. Turns out the do not attend list was generated somewhere in the filthy bowels of the Bush White House. You know, they don't even remember. The campaign's over. Excluding people for disagreeing with Lord Georgie. You can't defense that anymore. You can't defend that. We're all citizens, right? I mean, you listen to the right-wing megaphone, don't you? Fox, CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC. And we've got to get behind this president. Right? So let's say you're a Democrat and you want to get behind this president. Well, that's fine. You can get behind him, but you damn sure can't go see him try to talk. There's no end. There's absolutely no end to this. And a little bit more fun and games coming out of the war front. You saw this over the weekend, didn't you? U.S. military police threw a mud wrestling party at a prison camp in Iraq. And a woman who took part has been found guilty of indecent exposure and demoted. At least, now listen carefully, at least three female guards stripped to their underwear and wrestled each other in a paddling pool full of mud in the grounds of Camp Buka, the biggest U.S. camp for detainees in Iraq. Remember how this was just an isolated problem at Abu Ghraib? Remember how this was just a few bad apples acting out? Remember how Flush Flemball said, oh, it's like hazing, it's a fraternity. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fraternity prank. You got any more of those pills? Let's see. The party took place October 30th of last year. One U.S. military police battalion, the 160th, was about to hand over the responsibility to another one, the 105th. Officers from both battalions were involved. Photographs were taken. Prison guard found the photos sometime later and handed them all over to the camp's commanders. Lieutenant Colonel Barry Johnson said, "It does not appear that alcohol was involved, and there is no evidence to support suggestions of any type of sexual misconduct." Now, wait a minute. If we had, just assume for a moment, let's say I promote a fundraiser that's, female mud wrestling. And it's all for a good cause. There would be a howl and an outcry in this community from every church there is, in this particular instance, perhaps rightly so. But a little female mud wrestling at the single largest concentration camp in Iraq, no big deal. Although one woman was demoted, one of the participants. Whose idea was it? Who came up with this jolly notion? This crowd in Washington, honest to God, I think they'd almost kill themselves trying to tie their shoes. That's why they all wear loafers. Well, I don't know, maybe Boy George gets some Velcro. Is there anything they can do right? Anything at all? On and on and on it goes. Oh, let's see. Where is it? Stand by a second. I hate the dead air. I apologize. Back to the budget, I guess. From yesterday's New York Times. The budget will more than double the copayment charge to many veterans for prescription drugs and require some to pay a new fee of $250 a year for the privilege of using government health care. These people marched to the colors. These people stood in harm's way. These people, many of them, have heard shots fired in anger, unlike Chicken George. And why do they even have a copay at all? Never mind whether it's going to double or triple. Why do they have a copay at all? Shouldn't this be part of the deal that we struck with the people who joined the military? Shouldn't it? Copay from what? What if they're disabled? And yet this administration is seen as being particularly solicitous and loving of the military. The president wants $70.8 billion for the Department of Veterans Affairs in the fiscal year that begins October 1. It's astonishing. These guys can't do anything right. You remember when he was running in 2000? All the grown-ups are going to be back in charge. Yeah, sure. What does my buddy say? Yeah, these guys could screw up a one-car funeral. You know, the occasional mistake is one thing, but to absolutely destroy everything you put your hand to, you know, you're a screw up. You know, a terminal on that. God, makes my head hurt. Now let's go to the phones. 252-6200 outside Beckley 800-620-9967. Wayne, hey Wayne, you're head on.
Hey Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Radio Free Beckley still on the air.
Exactly.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, because, well, there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't like it. But the heck with it.
Yeah.
I just I haven't heard a whole bunch of the show. I just came from a union meeting.
Good.
Union.
Yes.
Good people. Remember the other night when I called you and told you about that report where union membership in West Virginia is up?
Right.
Well, I noticed it's on the radio.
Yes.
It's on your news.
It is.
But it gets kind of confusing there at the end, I don't know, with some numbers, but West Virginia has never sunk to the low that the nation's in, which is 12 point something or other.
Right.
I don't know. I think, we went from 13.2 in 2003 to 14.7 2004.
That's
pretty significant.
Now those are the percentages. Do you know anything about the real numbers?
Not at this point, I don't.
Okay.
But I'm searching. But, that came from Bush's Department of Labor.
Right.
So, we probably went up higher.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I figure, but,
They can only fudge the numbers so much.
Yes, yes. But it's, that's a very good thing. I mean, that made me very happy. That made me very happy. And I think that, people, hopefully that'll encourage people, don't be afraid.
Right.
We're all, everybody wants to, make a big to-do about all the people in Iraq that went to vote and all that, and they should. I mean, it takes courage, even if they are threatening you with your food ration and stuff like that. Took some courage, a lot of courage.
Even if Ahmed Chalabi's one of the candidates, still.
Yes, yes. But they're going to, but see, that's one of the good things about this election. Chalabi and Alawi.
Mm-hmm. His cousin.
Right?
Yeah.
Them Shiites are going to throw them dudes out. And I think that's really great. Who does Bush have to blame but himself, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You wanted the elections. Well, now you got them. They might not come out the way you wanted, Georgie. But you got them.
Yeah.
But they'll fudge that.
But you've been to like Chuck E. Cheese or the occasional Carnival Midway from time to time, haven't you, Wayne?
Sure.
Well, you ever seen that whack-a-mole game? You get the foam rubber club and the little mole pops up and you whack the mole and little kids
love
it.
Yeah.
Well, see, when the Shiites win the huge landslide victory, George is going to start playing whack-a-mole.
Oh, is that like whack-a-mola?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Whack-a-mola.
Okay.
Not whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt that at all. But see, the thing that they're not counting on, I honestly and truly believe, and I know Miss Manners will be mad at me, but I think enough time has gone by that we can openly talk about this.
I think so.
That a majority of those people that voted, at first they're talking 62%, blah, 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 this, that, and all that. It may very well, of course, they're not going to tell you, but there's alternate places you could go to look. The turnout will probably come closer to 30% than 60%.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, you got to...
Well, that's an American-style democracy, isn't it?
Exactly.
30% turnout.
You got to start somewhere, see. But even the people that did vote it, I think another one of their motivations, besides liking to eat, that they like to eat and stuff like that, is that they think by voting that the Americans will leave, the occupiers will leave. That's where the trouble is going to start.
Thanks for playing.
They realize these people aren't going nowhere. No matter how many elections you have.
Well, yeah, and when a lawyer 2 days after the election stands up and says, please don't leave.
Exactly.
They're going to kill me.
And, you're right. And, we got a $1.5 billion embassy to build. Now, that doesn't sound like any plan to leave to me. That's not counting the 14 bases.
Yeah.
14 bases is a lot.
That's a lot of real estate. That's a lot of...
How big is Iraq, let me think?
Well, it's either the size of Texas or the size of California, depending on whether you're listening or watching Fox or CNN.
Okay, the size of Texas or the size of what?
California.
California. Both of them have a lot of military bases.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I don't know if they have 14.
Well, it's...
I know neither one of them has a $1.5 billion embassy.
God. What do you get for $1.5 billion? I mean, you're a construction guy.
Well, I told you, man, the Freedom Tower, which is what, you know, they're going to build in replace of the Twin Towers in New York, is, when it is erected, when it's completed, will be the tallest building in the world. That's in the world. That's...
You're right.
That's this whole big marble thing, world, you know.
A little blue-green thing.
And do you know what the estimated cost of that is?
No.
$1.5 billion. So, go figure.
We're building the Baghdad Space Needle? Is that what you're telling me?
I think the difference between the embassy and the Freedom Tower is that they go in different directions. The Freedom Tower is going to go up. I think the embassy is going to go down, you know, bunkers and...
Yeah.
Well,
secret torture
hole.
Chambers.
The biggest spider hole. Isn't that what they pulled Saddam out of, spider hole?
Right.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a real fancy one.
We're going pro on the spider hole.
Right, there you go. I mean, this is going to be one of the coolest spider holes you ever saw, buddy.
Yeah, hot and cold running beer.
Right. With missile launchers and stuff, you know. I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
You know, little right-wing torture chambers from John Negro, when John Negroponte has his El Salvadoran flashbacks.
Right. Did you see any of any TV yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, besides the Eagles didn't win. I don't know if you saw
that. Yeah, I caught that.
No, I was kind of hoping they would, but I don't know.
It was a long shot.
Well, yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, and you know,
very poor time management at the end there. I don't.
Well, and they looked tired.
Did they?
Yeah, but neither team had any rhythm. The whole blessed thing, Wayne, was, you know, we'll be back with more commercials right after this football.
Exactly. I don't know.
I think, you know, I don't know when the players... I got to thinking about it. I don't know when the Players Association contract comes up again.
Me neither.
But as a fan, I would take it as a personal favor if the Players Association would negotiate with the NFL to turn the Super Bowl into a non-commercial enterprise. You know, turn the Super Bowl into the world's largest single charity event.
See, here's my plan for the Super Bowl, or what I think ought to happen.
Okay.
It should be the best of three.
Yeah, a series.
You know, you got a World Series? Well, why should the Super Bowl be decided by one game?
Yeah, one very overhyped game.
Exactly. Extremely overhyped, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I think that would be cool. You know, you could eliminate the Pro Bowl. I mean, that's a joke. What is that, you know? And I don't know, take out one or two exhibition games and, you know, let's have the best out of three.
Yeah, it's not like college where we have to worry about them taking finals.
Right. No, they've already cheated their way through all this.
Oh, you're not helping again.
No, I know. I'm not always known for helping, Bob. I try to play, but helping...
Struggled with that. Works well and plays. Works and plays well with others. Part of first grade there.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, yesterday, I don't know. I was flipping through something. I don't know where. Rumsfeld was everywhere.
Oh my God! They had his clones out. I mean,
yeah, they must or something.
He was live on
Russert.
He was live on Russert and he was live on Face the Nation at the same damn time.
Oh, was he? You know, I only saw him once at.
I swear I thought I saw the wire sticking out of his head a couple of times.
Oh, did you see that New York Times thing?
Which one?
With the wire, you know.
Oh, yeah.
How they killed the story.
Yeah,
about
they spiked
Bush's
Bush's bulbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the New York Times, that liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Rumsfeld, I don't know what was I, he was on, what's his name, Russert?
Yeah.
Was Russert the one where there was another guy there interviewing him too?
No.
Okay, I don't know which one.
Russert's in, Russert's Meet the Press.
But anyway, the guy said to him, well, you know, Gonzalez, when Gonzalez described the Geneva Conventions as quaint, do you agree with that? Rumsfeld's answer was, he didn't say that.
God, that was the whole interview. Everything they asked him, I didn't say that. He didn't say that. It was never said. You're making it up.
He didn't say that.
My wife could tell you, Wayne. I was pulling a dad. I was screaming at the TV again. Mom, he's doing it again.
Yeah. How about Mr. Rumsfeld? How long will we be in Iraq? We will be in Iraq for as long as we are needed to be there for the needs. Garbage like that.
He even tried to launch into the known knowns and the unknown knowns and the garden gnomes and the front yard gnomes. Oh,
only
my God.
Is he still moves.
Yeah.
Not quickly, but he moves.
Well, by the time I saw that question get asked, you know, Mr. Rumsfeld, how long will we be in Iraq? By the time they got around to that question, when I heard that one coming, I looked at my wife and said, the answer is going to be, we're not in Iraq.
Right, exactly.
Well, what makes you think we're in Iraq? We're not in Iraq. There's nobody in Iraq. Iraq's free.
Right.
We're not there. It's not us.
These people are amazing. And, you know, do you honestly believe that he submitted his resignation twice? Do you believe that?
Huh? Wayne, you know, the Super Bowl's over.
Maybe I shouldn't. Yeah.
You know, I turned in my beer last night. I'm all sober, man. Are you kidding? Believe that? You know, did you see Russert ask him about the go to war with the army you have, not the army you want? Did you see him ask that?
No. Yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, on Meet the Press, Russert reads him the quote and shows him the video clip.
Uh-huh.
And Rumsfeld just absolutely gets his knickers all in a twist and says, that's not fair, I didn't say that. Oh, I was running around the room. I was frothing at the mouth, tearing at my hair. And I could, you know, I was channeling all the little right wing nuts going, that's right, he didn't say that. That was like Al Qaeda video of an Al Qaeda Rumsfeld or something. Jeez.
Unbelievable. I mean, totally unbelievable.
I had, you know.
And there's all these American people to buy that.
Yeah, he didn't say that. Yeah,
I mean, when, oh God.
See, now, I'm halfway glad you brought it up. I'm halfway glad you didn't, because I had managed to put it out of my mind.
Well, I'll be glad that I did.
Okay.
Say something.
Yeah. Oh, my heavenly days. And every question was like, oh, he got absolutely angry at Russell.
Oh, yeah, he did. I mean, it amazes me that he even goes on these shows to begin with, you know. I mean, because, and you know you're not going to get any truth out of him.
No. Well, how many times have we said the truth ain't
well, him and Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza.
There's another one. I mean, my God.
Yeah. The lunatics are in charge of the asylum, Wayne. I mean,
yes, they are.
You know, we can either sit back, take our medicine, and be quiet, or, you know, we got this little thing going on at night, and, you know, we can get it off our chest.
And well, so, thank God for, yeah.
And, you know, some of that is, these people, they really do. They render you speechless.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Me too, man. And if it wasn't for Radio Free Beckley, I would, you know, I would be going Looney Tunes.
Thank God for the sandbox.
Or I might, yeah. It's, it's absolutely amazing. But I don't know. I'm still working. I'm real happy with, well, that, that thing that I started out talking about the union.
Yeah,
and union membership going up. I am going to get some numbers because there's got to be. There's the. You could get the whole report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know that's pretty. I don't know. I don't want to burn up my printer.
Right.
And I'd have to go to Staple. I don't know. I'd probably have to have a tractor trailer full of paper to get the whole thing. But I'm sure you can go through there and get to the numbers in West Virginia.
Okay.
That's very encouraging. I think that's real encouraging.
Well, you know, once upon a time, the union movement more or less began here in many ways.
Yeah, it did, in many ways, Bob.
And you know, maybe it's like a salmon going upstream to spawn. Maybe this is where it begins again, right here.
Oh, that's a real good thought. You know, and hopefully so. It's, and that's what's so encouraging about those numbers. I mean, that's a 1.5% increase in a year from 2003 to 2004. And that kind of works like compound interest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You know, so, that, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. And I want people, oh, you know what else too? And I'll have to, the United Mine Workers have put out a pamphlet on the Marfork compound.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Really?
The, what do you call it? Containment? What do they call the sludge?
The slurry pond? Or
slurry pond, yeah, whatever.
A hell of a pond.
Oh, God. I mean, you know that, and I've heard you say, and it points it out in the pamphlet, that thing is deeper than the Gorge Bridge.
Yeah.
Nah.
With nothing but cancer-causing toxic vick.
Yeah.
Behind.
And they don't have, you know, they don't have any idea how that it's going to stay there. Or, you know, there's mines underneath it.
Yeah.
That, oh my God.
Well, it's the same. I mean, and look at what happened down in Kentucky.
Yes.
You know,
well,
they
that
had, they
came
had,
up here, didn't that? That came to Tug Fork and all that, didn't it?
I do believe, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
And you know, one mine blowout, you know, side of the mountain. Yeah. Welcome to hell.
Yes. Yeah. This is. I'm going to have to. Well, I don't know how many. I hope there's a lot of these. And name of the pamphlet: Citizens of Raleigh, Boone, and Kanawha County. Are you aware of the dangers in your own of the danger in your own backyard?
And the UMWA put this out?
Oh yeah, man, it's really, really.
Lay hands on one for me if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, I most definitely will. I'll drop one off at the station tomorrow.
Cool.
You know, with I'll put it in an envelope with your name on it.
Excellent. Please do.
It'll be a secret. Secret communique or something.
Yeah, for Radio Free Beckley.
Yeah, for Radio Free Beckley. Yeah, that stuff has to be guarded, you know. Brown envelopes.
Yeah,
not a lot of printing.
No return address.
Right.
Hey, Wayne, we got to take our break, man. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. You have a good evening.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, a little update of this, a little of this, a little of that. We'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Two Fayette County lawmakers say it's time the state's new juvenile centers get the same attention as the state's maximum security prison. Senator Shirley Love and Delegate David Perry want lawmakers to be able to make surprise visits of juvenile centers and make sure youngsters are getting proper treatment. Lawmakers have made similar visits in recent years to Mount Olive Correctional Complex, the state's maximum security prison. And Perry says a lot of money has been invested in facilities like this, the new 25-bed juvenile detention center in Mount Hope, for one, and he wants to make sure the investment is worth it. Love says going on site without an appointment would give lawmakers a chance to assess the daily activities of the youngsters, their diet, and also how they're treated. An interim panel has endorsed a proposal to expand the powers of the newly created Water Resources Protection Commission. The commission would be expanded from 10 to 14 members, with the chairs of the Finance, Judiciary, and Natural Resources Committees represented. Before the bill was approved, Raleigh County Delegate Linda Sumner admitted so that at least two of the seven members from the House and Senate are from the minority Republican Party. Seven cost-cutting programs at the Public Employees Insurance Agency have saved taxpayers about $126 million. That's according to a report from the state legislative auditor's office. Lawmakers received the report during interim meetings yesterday
in Charleston. Former Charleston resident Jennifer Garner added to her list of awards this weekend. She received the Screen Actor Guild's Award for Best Actress in a Dramatic TV Series. Garner was born in Texas, but grew up in Charleston. That's the news. Now here's the forecast. Tonight will be mild with rain developing late in the night. Low tonight near 49. And then for Tuesday, mild with rain again. Tomorrow's high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night, cloudy with drizzle possible, low around 40. And for Wednesday, a little bit cooler, but a chance of light rain on Wednesday with a high in the mid-40s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
This is America on the Road. Suzuki says it's a cross between a sports sedan and an SUV. We'll tell you what we think about it next, so stay tuned.
The key to business success in today's information economy lies in a company's ability to manage and protect its most valuable asset, information. In a very real sense, a company is its information. Vital data exists within all departments of an enterprise: customer relations, personnel, sales, marketing, finance, and beyond. And like any valued corporate asset, this information requires protection. For the prudent IT executive, protecting the entire infrastructure and the information that resides in it goes beyond preventing virus attacks and network intrusions. A company must secure the organization and keep it up and running. Today's businesses keep information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for your enterprise, visit itstrategycenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Jackie Redd. Suzuki isn't exactly a household name when it comes to automobiles, though the Japanese manufacturer enjoys a fine reputation for its motorcycles. Of course, the same could have been said about Honda 20 years ago. Frankly, it's a parallel that has some validity, because we've seen steady progress from Suzuki on the auto front, and the Aereo SX is the best Suzuki we've ever tested. It offers a good powertrain, convenient size, and a remarkable amount of cargo space. And in terms of fit and finish, it gets high marks as well.
This is Mike Hansen. The modern, upright shape of the Aereo SX led many observers to suspect it was a hybrid-powered vehicle. Instead, it uses a conventional 2.3-liter dual-overhead cam four-cylinder engine that delivers 155 horsepower and excellent fuel economy of 25 miles per gallon in the city and 30 on the highway. The vehicle is available in both front drive and all-wheel drive configurations, and the versatile interior space is complemented by a high level of standard equipment, including cruise control, tilt steering column, audio system equipped with CD changer, and a subwoofer. And the vehicle's handy size and good outward visibility makes it great for urban excursions.
On our scale of 1 to 5, 4 tires and a spare, we rate the $16,000 Suzuki Aereo SX a 4. And we'll have more next time on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One. America on the
Road! WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 minutes before 10 o'clock on this Monday night edition. You know, I think the Monday night shows are the easiest ones to do, because you've got Saturday and Sunday and all this. And because the dirty, nasty, rotten, creepy, crawly, wallow-on-its-belly creatures of the Republican Party do their foul business, or try to, get it out on a, you know, on a late Friday afternoon when America's journalists are already on their first needle full of smack or, you know, crack pipe. the story dies over the weekend. So that's the way they operate. There's all kinds of fun stuff over the weekend for people, anyone who's paying attention. Now, I don't have much in the way of detail about it, but if any of you know more, I would certainly like for you to share it with me. This was a front page story from the Beckley paper Saturday. Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. Headline, Professor's Remarks Cause Stir, Teacher Calls Presentation Filth. This was the fellow who went to Woodrow Wilson High School and delivered a lecture about the deleterious nature of hip-hop culture on America's teens. But he did it in a sort of confrontational, in-your-face style. Yeah, something that would be, for instance, welcome on this program, head-on. And he used actual words from actual hip-hop songs. And, you know, as usual, there was one woman who was a teacher there, took her child out. They were shocked to know that dirty words like that existed. And they were absolutely certain that these poor little children had never, ever heard any of these words before that fateful day when this lecture was delivered. Shocked. Now, never mind the fact that the guy was quoting lyrics of songs that these kids already listened to, because most parents can't be bothered to be parents. Holy smoke. The speaker was Dr. Raphael Hagens, Multicultural Affairs Director at Bluefield State. And he was trying to, according to the paper's article, he was trying to explain that the pop culture and rap videos send messages that are not part of the real world. He was doing a contrast of the way children behave and how they should behave. And Woodrow Wilson High School English teacher Tammy McKinney got up and walked out with her 16-year-old daughter. She was shocked. She was shocked when this gentleman read the lyrics to My Neck, My Back. You've heard that song, haven't you, John? I've heard that song. It's not a nice song. I wasn't going to expose my daughter to this, McKinney said. I'm very upset, and I did not appreciate it as a parent or a teacher. It was in very poor taste. Hey, sister, most of American culture's in very poor taste. So here we go again, having a hissy fit over words. How many times do I have to say it? It takes a dirty mind to have a dirty word. Oi! But if you know, there's insufficient information in there. If you know anything more about it, by all means, share it with us. Yeah, that must be a zany place, Woodrow. And an email from our friend Chris. Apparently he's been channeling the good Dr. Hunter Thompson again. And he's got a couple of quotes for us from Marshall McLuhan. Take the dateline off a newspaper, and it becomes an exotic and fascinating surrealist poem. How true. But then Chris says, when you look at the society we live in this country, reflect on this quote from Shakespeare. Meantime, we shall express our darker purpose. Give me the map there. No, we have divided in three our kingdom. And Chris says that there is the wealthy kingdom, the middle class domain, and the wasteland that is for those below the poverty line. Don't get me wrong, he says, the domain of the middle class is right across the street from the wasteland. The wealthy kingdom isn't located anywhere near the domain or the wasteland, however. It is close enough for those in the domain to work for the wealthy and those in the wasteland to serve the wealthy when they eat or need their yards mowed or their children to be babysat. Again, let's turn to Shakespeare. He says, also from King Lear. Only we still retain the name and all the additions to a king. The sway, revenue, execution of the rest, beloved sons, be yours, which to confirm this concept part betwixt you. Chris says, whatever you do, don't follow too closely, because subjects ahead of you may seem much, much larger than they appear. Yeah. And that's the thing about the wasteland and the domain of the middle class. They're very close to each other. And if you wander from one end of the, if you wander out of the domain and into the wasteland, it's very hard to get back out of the wasteland into the domain. Yes, indeedy. You know, that's one of the things that makes this show so much fun to do. You guys are smart. This is, listen, it's some of the smartest talk radio you're going to get. I don't care where you are. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about the people that contribute to the program, the guest hosts, if you will. Don't like to abuse callers. I like callers to, you know, bring something to the table. You know, what's Jim Rome say? Have a take and don't suck. Yeah, you know, I'm lucky. Most everybody who calls has a take and they don't suck. And I appreciate it, whether it be email or a phone call. And I don't know if you caught this before the Super Bowl, but Flush is back on the junk or something. Got after Donovan McNabb again last week on the show. Here's what he said. He said, "There is no question McNabb has improved, and I'm happy to see it. But the media are still giving McNabb credit because there's this social hope." You know, he was an idiot the first time he did it, and he is still dumber than a bag of rags. This social hope? The hell is that? This social hope. I mean, this from the guy who told a black caller once upon a time to call back after you've taken the bone out of your nose. It's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. But this, you know, this creep gets a pass. If I said something like that, oh, the hue and cry would be amazing. But, you know, this right-wing drug addict says it, and oh, well, yeah, he's a great social commentator. Well, never mind the fact that he couldn't get through college. Never mind the fact that he's a draft dodger. The media are still giving McNabb credit because there's this social hope. Yeah. It just, it on and on and on. And since there, I guess we all breathed a great big sigh of relief yesterday when there were no wardrobe malfunctions at the Super Bowl. But of course, you know, this has become a much more repressed country since Janet Jackson's demon breast assaulted all the, you know, all the people of America. You want proof? And, you know, never mind the censor SpongeBob because he's gay. Never mind the can't show postcards from Buster because, you know, one of the kids has, in the cartoon has two mommies. Now, we've got HBO at the house, and from time to time I sit down and watch a movie. And I saw one not too long back called Dirty War. Good movie. Good movie. The premise being what happens when a dirty bomb is exploded in London. It's a joint production of HBO and the BBC. And on February 23rd, PBS is going to air it. Now, there are scenes in this movie that are unpleasant. There are scenes in this film that are compelling. There are scenes in this film. Well, the whole darn thing just makes your skin crawl. And there's something else in this movie. With maybe about a, you know, the bomb's already gone off, about a half an hour to go in the film. And there's a decontamination station set up. Part of the premise of which is that people must remove their clothing in order to be decontaminated. You got a problem with that? I don't have a problem with that. I'm one of these reality-based people. You know, you hear the bullhorns in the street saying, "Please do not smoke, eat, drink,
or put your hands anywhere near your face.
Only with a British accent.
Please do not smoke, drink, eat, or put your hands anywhere near your face.
And you know, they set up a decontamination station.
Women who are pregnant or nursing should come to the front of the queue for decontamination.
Okay, with me so far? PBS is going to run this. And in this scene, you see, and it's a scene of a woman passing through the decontamination station. There is nothing prurient about it. There is nothing pornographic about it. There is nothing obscene about it. But she is standing there naked, being sprayed off. I think you see a little tushy and maybe a little, you know, breast profile. Okay? Just standing there being naked. Like God made her. Didn't bring her into this world in a Gucci suit. Guess what? It's gone. It's cut. It's not there. Now, I saw it on HBO, so I know it's there. But on PBS, PBS is so scared of these twisted, filthy-minded, right-wing perverts that they have edited out the woman who has been contaminated in the dirty bomb fallout. They've edited her away. A little slice of the reality. And this whole thing is supposed to be about the reality of what happens in a terrorist attack of this sort, part of which would be decontamination. But it's been edited out. We can't see the naked woman in profile getting the radiation sprayed off of her. You understand? Do you understand how far away from reality these weirdo right-wing freaks live? Because PBS is doing this because they are scared to death of L. Brent Bozell III. I always have to be careful when I say L. Brent Bozell III. Real possibility for a screw-up there. L. Brent Bozell III and his parents, TV.org, which files, what, 99.4% of all FCC complaints, unless they're against Flush Flembaugh. PBS is scared to death that they'll be fined by the FCC for showing this woman naked, being sprayed off in a decontamination chamber. And the article where I found this is by Frank Rich. It's called Touchdown for the Indecency Police. It appeared in the International Herald Trib. And he remarks, next thing you know, they'll be snipping lascivious flesh out of a documentary about Auschwitz. And he's right. Is there any... Remember? Takes a dirty mind to make a dirty word. It also takes a dirty mind to make a naked body dirty. I mean, are these all just, you know, what, Jonathan Edwards sinners? Not John Edwards, Jonathan Edwards, the sinners in the hands of an angry God? Is this some sort of sick, twisted Cotton Mather thing? What? I was reflecting I used to think when I was a kid, you know, no wars on you, no draft. These are going to be pretty peaceful, dull, hopefully happy times as I grow up, get through my life. Never saw it coming. Never even realized it. For some reason or another, accident of birth, what have you, we are living in a time of greater challenge and a bigger war than anything we might have dreamed of. And the war we are being compelled to fight is not against some foreign invader. The war we are compelled to fight is for the very freedom of the United States. The very freedom of the Republic. It's up to us to prove that what was fought and bled and died for is still worth saving. America has to be taken back from the L. Brent Bozell the Thirds, the Bushes, the Mitch McConnells, the Trent Lotts, the Newt Gingrichs, the Dobsons, the Falwells, the Robertsons, the Hins. If we don't, how can we face our children and our grandchildren? And if we don't, what in God's name, and I mean that, are we passing on to them? If we don't fight these fascists, our children have no future. And when I realized that, that'll give you cold sweats at 3 o'clock in the morning. I promise you it will. And this is how it begins. It doesn't begin with well-dressed fascists marching through your streets. It begins with things like L. Brent Bozell III and his parentstv.org. And the certainty that humans are dirty things, and words are dirty things. And we need to eliminate the dirty things, and if we get a few good things in the process, well, those are just sacrifices we have to make. That is how fascism comes. That is how fascism came. That is the fascism that is in the streets of America even today, and growing all the time. Spooky, isn't it? Yes, it is. And all the more so for being real. That's it for tonight. Thanks to those who participated, for calling, emailing, sitting there by your computer or your radio and listening. I sincerely appreciate it. The show, of course, tonight produced by the inimitable John Cappy, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our good friends, the West Virginia Pipe Trades. Thanks, everyone. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, I'll be here, you be here. Hey, Agnes. Yeah.